much more happy to talk to one another than you are to me up here. So, but that's good. It's called community. All right. All right. Well, it's great to see you all. If you were here last week and you experienced Andrea and Chad Riddle, I wasn't here, but I listened to the message. It was beautiful. I just really loved their heart. We had a great talk in our home group meeting on Wednesday just about some of the things. What, you know, Andrea talked about doing what's in front of you and the way God used various people in her life, not sort of the unsuspecting, to really bring her into her calling. I just thought it was great. If you didn't hear it last week, you can listen on our website, indievineyard.org. And I would also just encourage you, we're doing a table out in the lobby to sponsor the poorhouse and specifically to sponsor someone in our city experiencing homelessness, someone that Chad and Andrea most likely know on a first name basis and know their story. So I encourage you to go out in the lobby and be a part of that. This series in the last couple of weeks and for some number of weeks coming ahead, I'm calling Sent. There's a little, but we're not talking about that because it's subtle. Okay. We're calling this Sent, and the passage I've been sort of launching from is John 20, 21 to 22. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he'd said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And 2 weeks ago, I had you make some declarations, and you were so deliciously uncomfortable with that I decided I would do it again. I think that it is good for us. I don't mean the uncomfortable part. I think that it is good for us to declare what is true, whether we feel it or experience it or not. So I'm going to ask you to stand. You don't have to be able to read. You just have to be able to listen and repeat. Jesus has given the disciples this promise. "I'm sending you the same way the Father sent me." And he promises it'll be with them. He says, "You'll have the Holy Spirit and all your power." So as his disciples, these are the declarations that are true about us. So you can repeat after me. I am sent by Jesus. My inheritance is God's peace.
My inheritance is God's peace.
My power is God's Holy Spirit.
My power is God's Holy Spirit.
My promise is God's presence.
My promise is God's presence.
So I have all I need.
So I have all I need.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you deemed us worthy. In spite of our unworthiness, you called us, and you loved us, and you redeemed us, and you've sent us into the world with your power and with your presence and with this message and mission and all your privileges. And we declare today that though it doesn't always feel like it, we have in the Spirit all we need to be the people of God in the world that the Father made. And we ask, Lord, that as we gather around your word and inspired by your Holy Spirit this morning, that we would know your presence, that we would encounter your presence, and that we would be empowered and emboldened to carry your presence into the world for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I feel like we've spent a couple of weeks now talking about the us part of being sent. What do we do? What does this mean for us? And though I'm going to come back to that in the midst of the message this morning, I want to sort of check in to see with, like, what's God doing in all of this? What's God's part of this sending thing that we're a part of? And so for this morning, the passage I'm going to be speaking from is 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. And I'll read it in context, but the reality is I'm only going to make it through like one verse. So this is the word of God. "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. Would you take just a minute and sit in silence? The Quakers do this. After the word is spoken in a Quaker meeting, you sit in silence because you want God to have the first word about his word. So would you take just a minute and sit in silence? You can close your eyes or keep them open and just sit under this word from God. Here's the fun thing. Some of you have already received from God what you needed this morning. Some of you God has already spoken to, because that's what he does through his word and by the Holy Spirit. In case that didn't happen, I've got about 25 minutes to say a few things. So. 2 Corinthians 2:14 specifically. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. In the structure here, two major things happening. God is leading us, and God is, through us, spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. So I'm going to look at those two, if you're an English lover like me, participial phrases, okay? God is leading us, and God is everywhere through us spreading the operative words. It's important to see that this is God's work. This is God's work. God is leading us in triumphal procession in Christ. It's God doing. How many of us, you don't have to show your hand, it will be embarrassing. How many of us remember the day that Jesus saved us and it was powerful and we thought, I never could have done it on my own. And this is amazing and God is glorious. And then somewhere along the way, we thought, I got to do it. Somewhere along the way, though Jesus had done everything and we could offer nothing into the deal, we somehow took back the yoke and said, thanks, Jesus, appreciate it, I'll take it from here. And most of us made it a whole step before we fell flat on our faces. But I just want to remind us this morning that this is God's work. The sending business is God's business. He does the sending. And so Paul's telling us here in 2 Corinthians 2, that it is proper to give thanks to God because God, through Christ, is always leading us in triumphal procession. In Christ, God is doing that. So the scripture says he leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. So I'm going to have some fun here. If you are here, then you are us. It's like Toys R Us, but better, okay? You are us. And so if you've given your life to Christ, then what that means is God is leading you. Period. Done. End of story. He's leading you. He's leading you now. He's led you here. He's leading you. You may not feel like you're following all that well this morning. Well, thank you. What a nice young man. I'd like to speak to his father sometime. God's leading you. He's led you here. I mean, Jacqueline said it this morning, there's a sweet presence of God here. It's not just a presence for the heck of the presence. God is present here because he wants to encounter you, and he's led you here this morning. So if you know him, he's led you here to just rejoice over you. And if you don't know him, he's led you here this morning that you might meet him. That's God's plan. All over the place, God is leading his people. And if that's the us, and if you're in us, then you are, what I said before, he's leading you. Isaiah 30:15 is one of my, 30:18, one of my favorite verses, says, for the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to show you compassion. That's God's heart towards us, believer or unbeliever, seeker or mature Christian this morning. God's heart towards us is this: I just can't wait to show you grace. I just can't wait to give you what you don't deserve. That is a really good thing to hear from the eternal God of the universe. I can't wait to give you what you don't have but desperately need. And God is just longing. I mean, the Hebrew word indicates like frothing at the mouth, longing to show you compassion, which means that whatever you walked in this morning with that's difficult, you are not alone in it. Or if just seeking God right now, you need not be alone in it. Because God says, I really want to show you my compassion. Paul says that God's always leading us in triumphal procession in Christ. That sounds promising, doesn't it? It's not. Here's why it's not as promising as it sounds. The image that Paul's giving of triumphal procession, remember, he's speaking into a Roman world. The triumphal procession is this. When a king conquers an army, he brings all the enemy combatants and he parades them through the city. That's our triumphal procession. Jesus went out and subdued us with his love. He captured us. We're captives to Jesus. And that's the triumphal procession that we're in. So lest you get the idea that we're running through the streets like, I did it, I did it. That's not it at all. We're following Jesus. God is leading us in triumphal procession. It is first and foremost God's triumph. And every single one of us is one of his victories. Some of us were harder to capture than others. Some of us fought longer than others. Some of us, we'll be honest, are still fighting. But the triumphal procession that we're in is Jesus the King leading his loved ones. It's glorious. We are not the conquerors, we're the conquered. And at the same time, in Paul's beautiful image of how all of this tension works together, we have been conquered and the conquered become the victors. Can you grasp that? You have been conquered by Jesus. You have been subdued by his love. You've been raised from the dead by his power. And he's marching you through the city so that believers and unbelievers and the enemies of hell can see that we've been taken over by Jesus. And we are his treasure. And we are his victory. And we also share in that victory. So I'm not saying we do it, but I am saying we all get to point to Jesus and say, guess what? I'm on the good guys team now. So it's often like that at the men's retreat football game, which I have to mention every couple of months. Some of us are still sore from it. You know, when you're on the team that's getting slaughtered and then someone leaves the other team, you're always the one that wants to say, oh, I'll go to the other team. I'll sacrifice and go to the winning team. And that is exactly what we've done in Christ. Jesus came over and said, basically, I love you so much, I don't want to let you be in the enemy's camp anymore. So why don't you come to my side? You're going to be humiliated. You're going to have to humble yourself. It's not always going to be fun, but you'll be on the winning team. And that's what we do. Jesus processes us through the world as his conquered ones and as his victors at the same time. Paul says another place, Romans 5, says, for if by the trespass of the one man, talking about Adam, who led us into sin, the dirty rat, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, that's the work of Jesus, and the free gift of righteousness, that's what we got when we were captured by Jesus. You've been captured, guess what? You get a free gift of righteousness. And Paul says, how much more will they, abundant grace, free gift of righteousness, reign in life? Reign in life. So we're being led through the world by Jesus who captured us. We serve him and him alone. And at the same time, because of what he's done for us, we reign in life. Like Jesus was a humble king, we're humble kings and queens. We follow the great one. But we have this royalty. And we just always have to deal with that tension. Were we the scum of the earth? Yes. Did I spill my water? Yes. But it's all forgiven. We were the scum of the earth. Yes. We didn't deserve love. No. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. And now we're a part of the family of God. And we walk in the victory of Jesus. I mean, the scum of the earth part will keep you humble. And the victory in the royalty part will keep you confident. Because we follow the risen King. Jesus is the leader. He's conquered us. We are now safe in captivity. Isn't that an interesting concept? Somewhere in the Old Testament, one of the prophets says that we are like prisoners of hope. I love that image. Prisoners of hope. That's who we are with Jesus. We're prisoners of hope. We're captive to hope. We'd like to be hopeless, but we can't. We can't despair because we follow the King of Kings and He's conquered. We have a perfect King, and the enemy, by the way, we used to work for him. The enemy looks on our lives. And why do you think the enemy is so keen to bring us down with temptation and difficulty and despair? Because Jesus in the heavenly realms is processing us through the world. And we're giving him glory and honor and obedience. We'll get to the point where we're actually spreading the fragrance of God and the knowledge of God into the world. Do you think Satan likes that? Because he had every single one of us. And Jesus rescued us out of that. And some of us were even the ones thinking, you know, actually, I kind of like this little pig pen I've been living in. And Jesus said, no, in the long run, you really don't. It's not in your best interest. And so he takes us out. And the next time you feel tempted by Satan in whatever area it is, you know it right now. You're like, oh, that one thing, whatever that is. The next time you feel tempted, I want you to imagine yourself. You're walking through heavenly streets. And Jesus is at the fore. Put yourself in line wherever you want. Clothe yourself with whatever you want. And just hear the enemy on the outside trying to pull you out of following Jesus. And I'm not big on talking to Satan, okay? But here's what I'll allow you to do. Just look over there and point to Jesus. Just look over at the enemy and say, no, I'm not going to that website following Jesus. No, I'm not going to the refrigerator again. I'm following Jesus. No, I'm not even going to Target. Somebody really got it there. Why? Because I'm following Jesus. Let the enemy say what he will. We don't have to silence him. Jesus has already done it. And we follow the King. I mean, that's triumph. We remember where we've come from and we know where we're going. And that was only point one of subpoint one. So we got a lot to talk about in the next few weeks. God is leading us in triumphal procession. There's more. It says God is leading us always in triumphal procession. So you don't get to just say, I'm in a triumph day. Or I'm in a, you know, scoot off to the enemy's camp day. No, the Bible declares God is always, back to 2 Corinthians, so we can see that. Do I have it somewhere? 2. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. You know my deal here, right? The Greek word for always means always. All the time, at every time. There is no point at which God is not leading you as a believer in triumphal procession in Christ. It doesn't mean you're always following, but his offer to lead is always there. And so for some this morning, this is the invitation to repentance. You get to say without condemnation, you know what? I stepped out of the line. I started following my old ways. I went down a wrong track. I listened to the enemy. And repentance just means returning again to follow your leader, the one who created you. So Jesus right now in your life, in whatever area you might need it, is offering to lead you. He's just offering. Every single one of us. I'll lead you. Just step back in line. Stay close to me. That's what I think Jesus really does. When he sees us going off and we repent, we just turn our face towards him. You know, wherever you might see yourself in the line behind Jesus, I think he says, "Come, why don't you come up here and stay close to me?" That is always the fruit of repentance, is intimacy with Jesus. It's always the fruit of repentance. When we're willing to say, I erred, and I deserve nothing better, and without you I'll do nothing else, and turn to Jesus, he just says, come up, come be close to me. Here, hold my flag. Here, let me put the robe around you again. It's the image of the prodigal son, Luke 15. We just can't get away from his love because he's always leading us. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. In Christ. You've been conquered by a king. You've been rescued. You're no longer an enemy, but a friend. And you're no longer warring against Jesus. You're actually warring with Jesus. You're on his team. When God looks down at the big triumphal procession of believers, and he looks at you and determines the status of your life conditionally right now, do you know what he sees? Jesus. That's what he sees. He doesn't see whatever you're thinking about right now, worrying about, fretting about, or planning. He sees Jesus because he leads us in the triumph always in Christ. I mean, that's what we are in the world. We are representatives of Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. So when we walk through the world and Jesus is showing us off as his trophies, he knows we're not perfect. He knows we're not all glittery. But we're basically walking through the world and we're saying to the world, if I can be saved, you can too. If I can be redeemed, you can too. If he can rescue me, he can rescue you. You cannot outrun the love of God. And that's what's pursuing us day after day. So listen to the reality of your life in Christ right now. Close your eyes for just a second. I'll just read the truth over you again. You're reigning in life. God says you are whole. You are saved. You're provided for. You're acknowledged by heaven. You're known. And you're loved. You're accepted, included. You're new. You're holy. You're empowered. You're forgiven. You're embraced. You're celebrated. Boy, let those words run with you wherever you go today. If you want those words, email me, I'll send them to you, and more. Because it's all true about those of us who are in Christ. He's leading us. He's leading us always. And he's leading us in Christ. The important part of this in Christ, at least two reasons. It means that when something actually good comes out of our life, Jesus gets the glory. If we're just walking around in Randy, then when Randy does something well, Randy's going to get the glory. But when we walk around in Christ and Randy just does something well, I say, you know what that was, don't you? That was a little Jesus action. That was Jesus flowing through me. I couldn't have done that on my own. That was Jesus flowing through me. Here's the harder part of this in Christ for us. If you got the image and there's Jesus and we're walking through the city and there are, you know, good people and bad people, there are angels and enemies all over the place and we're following Jesus and we're declaring what he's done for us and who he is. And we're calling people to a lifestyle with us to following Jesus. Do you know that a part of that lifestyle means we're calling people to obedience? And we're calling people to suffering. I mean, that just has to be a part of the Christian message today. We just cannot get away with the only victorious message of the gospel. Now, the gospel is ultimately and completely victorious. But remember what Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. So let's just not forget about that. When we call people to follow Jesus, let's be completely honest with them. Your whole life will be changed. All will be new. And you'll probably suffer. I mean, that's a promise from the Bible. Maybe not one you've committed to memory and put on your refrigerator. But it says it right here. 2 Timothy something. 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, Paul says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That doesn't pop up on your daily encouragement calendar very often. But it's the truth. And here's why that's encouraging. Does anybody feel persecuted right now? You're in the club. You're desiring to lead a godly life in Christ, and you're feeling persecution. It might be from the enemy. It might be from other people. It might be in your own home. It might be in your school or where you work. Don't be surprised when you face it. Jesus faced it, and we are following him. A part of our message is obedience. We've got to bow to this one who saved us. And a part of our privilege is suffering. You're just hoping I don't end there. I don't think I will. A part of our privilege is suffering. And so it means for those of us who are going through it right now, it doesn't mean we've been kicked out of the procession. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't leading us. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, the always he forgot that one and just dropped us for a bit. Doesn't mean that we're not victorious. It just means that we are following the risen one who could only raise from the dead because he suffered death. And that's why Jesus can turn to his beloved disciples and say, if you really want to follow me, take up your cross and go where I go. And that's just the tension that we have to live in as believers. There's victory and there's suffering. The victory is ultimate. The suffering is temporary. The victory is glorious. The suffering is real. And the victory is coming. Because God is always leading us in a triumphal procession in Christ. Let's pray. The communion servers can come forward. We'll prepare for communion. Father, we are thankful here this morning that Jesus has done the great work of life, death, and resurrection, that Jesus has done the redeeming work of finding us where we were and pulling us out of all that degraded us and took us away from your perfect will. For those of us, Lord, this morning who call Jesus Lord and King, we worship you. And we thank you. And we ask for your power to remain obedient, to walk through suffering, and to declare to the world victory. And for those of us who are still seeking, God, I would ask that you just call their names this morning. Gaze into their eyes. Invite them into the family, onto the winning team, into the army of God, where they can be safe, secure, captives, and lovers of Jesus.